Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Should be something I came to realize about myself earlier. I am more happy, not more happy that the Rangers' hopes are crushed than the Astros pretty much guaranteed themselves a playoff spot. The fact that you could put down that Ranger nuisance in your building when they had all the hopes of maybe surpassing you, being really in the division race, and certainly solidifying their playoff spot, and you sweep them. The joy of them being crushed supersedes the joy of the Astros taking over first place. That's where I am. I want the Rangers' nuisance put down for the year, and I think the Astros did that. So that's why I'm thrilled about what happened over the last 3 days, the sweep of the hated. I don't even hate the Rangers, because hate would suggest I can take them seriously. I just wanted that pest swatted aside so we can move on with the realness of the rest of the season, which starts on Friday with the Mariners in town. And the Mariners get to play today to see if they can even up the division race. And then we'll have the biggest series of the season, Mariners, Astros, starting on Friday. But let's go back to last night. You get a home run from Altuve. Christian Javier started off slow, but he fought his way through 6 innings, got his quality start in, only gave up the 2 runs through 6 innings in the bullpen. Only gave up 1 hit the rest of the way in the final 3 innings. Though Kurt was the one who gave the hit, but certainly no runs. A couple of walks for Kurt. Got a little shaky. And Brian King came in and did what Abreu did last night. Tuesday night. Come in and get an out in the 8th and then finish it off with less fanfare. There wasn't a lot of mystery when Brian King was out there. Didn't allow guys on. Didn't make it a nervous 9th, unlike Abreu the night before. So you take the series, you sweep it 5-2. And all of a sudden, because the Mariners finally had to lose a game, I mean, it wasn't so insightful, but we said throughout the week, they're eventually going to lose a game. So the question is, for some, did they peak? And now they're going to have a downturn, which is just in time for the series against the Astros. We'll see. But they do lose to the Royals last night. They got, as I said, 1 more game with them today. We'll see if they can tie the series. The division race. But with the Astros winning 3 in a row, they do take back the division lead. And shout out to Kimbrough, Kurt, and King for shutting it down, because the Astros over the first 2 games of the series were more than willing to kind of toss away the early start from their pitching staff and then let the Rangers back in it. But it wasn't the case last night. So it was good to see Altuve hit a home run. In fact, it was the game-winning home run. The score was tied at 2. They got off to a good start. That's always good. Javier got through the first inning, and then they tacked on 2 thanks to Yiner Diaz, who continues to swing a hot bat. So all good all around. And now you just sit back and, you know, it'd be great if the Mariners lose another one. But even if they don't, you know you're going to start that series with at least a tie in the division thanks to your work against the Rangers. And you got Hunter Brown on the mound. Who better than to have him on the mound, your best pitcher, to start the biggest series of the season? So, 5-2 the final. Pena made a nice play to close it out. And that's the type of baseball you want. I didn't put a lot of real emotion into the Rangers series. Taking 2 out of 3 was the biggest part of it, and you got that done. Even if you had lost the series, yes, the Rangers are back in it, but you still have more ample opportunity to win the division because of your series against the Mariners and certainly make the playoffs. But it's not even about the Rangers, because for the most part, the team itself is anonymous to me. I don't find there's not a lot of hateful guys outside of Garcia because of what he did in the playoffs in 2023. Not a lot of guys I dislike, but watching Ranger fans slink away and really be done with them for the rest of the year. Of course, they will continue to reference 2023 because the only thing they can. But get them out of here. Enough of you. It was nice of you to decide to try to make it interesting over the last half a month or so. But now, with your playoff chances really in the tank, you can focus on whatever. Maybe you're an SMU fan. Maybe you're a TCU fan. Maybe you're a Baylor fan. I don't know the college football demographics of that area when it comes to Ranger fans. I don't know what the Venn diagram is, but focus on that. Your season's over now. Sure, you got games to play, but it's over. And you had DeGrom on the mound, and the Astros did enough to get the win. So that's great. Bye-bye, Texas Rangers baseball for another year. Now we get to the real stuff. And the Mariners are kind of in that classification, but they're like a step above the Rangers because the Mariners have been really the team we've been focused on throughout the year. Now it's your time to put them away, or at least put them away as far as the division is concerned. They still have a really good shot to make the playoffs. Certainly, you would hurt their chances if you could sweep them. And we've been looking behind, or for at least the last day, looking up at the Mariners, but kind of looking behind throughout the year. Now you can start to look up and see what you can do over the course of the last week and a half or so and see if you can help your standings in the playoffs. Can you avoid playing in the wild card round? You look at where they stand right now after the sweep. The two seeds up for grabs. They are not out of it. Of course, they have to play good baseball. But they did themselves a lot of favors taking that Rangers series and doing it in the sweep. So if you look at where the Astros stand after the three against the Rangers, they are only a game and a half behind Detroit. Detroit's lost a couple in a row. That has helped tighten it up. The Yankees are in that same spot, a game and a half up on the Astros. So, of course, it's going to take good baseball, but good. Play good baseball. I'd love to see you continue to play good baseball. And it's a series at home, which has been a bit of a bugaboo, but they've been pretty good at home this year. Certainly the last three help. I think they're fifth or sixth, maybe even fifth, as far as best home record in the AL. I didn't really look at the National League because it's the National League. It's not of my concern right now. It's National League baseball. We barely pay attention until the playoffs. Look, there's a hate for the Dodgers. Okay. But do I really care that that Mets fans have been freaking out because of how bad they've been over the last two and a half weeks? No. It's National League baseball. So right now at 84-69, the Mariners are 83-69. So are the Red Sox. So they jumped over the Red Sox, and now you got a chance, as they say, to make some hay, and a day of rest, and you're in name best three pitchers coming up. I say in name because Fromber's mixed up in there. Like in name, Fromber, Hunter Brown, and Jason Alexander have been your three best starters. In actuality, you've got your two best starters in this series, and now you just hope and pray Fromber finds his form. Give me a game, Fromber. Look, it's over for you here, I imagine. I'm not expecting you to go out there and go seven strong. I love it. But if you know, give me six, two runs earned, kind of feeling your way back, I'll take it. I'm not asking for much.
Yeah. There's a chance that this is his last home start.
It's true.
Depending on how the wild card series goes and depending how this series goes, you know, they might not be a division winner. So they'd be going on the road for the wild card series. And from there, who knows?
He's been around quite a bit. We're getting to the end. Like, we are in the middle of it, so we're not going to do a retrospective on Fromber right now. We've got a potential division to win, and certainly how it's going to go in the playoffs. But yeah, you make a point. If things don't go the way they want it to, Fromber may be making his last start at home.
So Fromber, leave it all out there. Leave it all out on the field.
Well, I don't
leave it all on Salazar's chest plate.
See, the problem is I don't want Fromber to pitch with emotion. Feels like that's going to go poorly for us. I like him to go out there, be calm, cool, and collected, and don't leave it all out there.
Oh, okay.
Because if he leaves it all out there, I don't foresee it going well.
It might unravel.
Yeah. I want him to hold plenty back.
just cruise.
Yeah, just cruise. I would love Fromber to cruise, because when there's some volatility, we got problems. Cruise.
Okay.
Calm, cool, collected Fromber tonight, not tonight, in a couple nights when he gets his start. And then maybe we feel good about you as you just, as you leave the Astros. You know, you, he can make up for a lot of ill will he's created by just being solid. I'm not even looking for great. Just solid out there. Give your team a chance to win outing after outing the rest of the way.
Just have one solid month plus of baseball left.
Well, yes. In the dream scenario is he is pitching in big games.
It would help a lot if he they end up winning the World Series.
It would help him a lot.
It would help a lot.
If he proves himself to be over the last, hopefully, month or so of his Astros tenure, that he's a clutch pitcher in clutch moments, that would help him maybe wash away. Your last impression, it'll wash away what has been pretty much a disaster for him in the last 2 months.
So, Fromber, go out there and make yourself some money.
Think of it that way. I'm not quite sure that helps. That might get him to a brain space where he doesn't perform. But I don't know his psychology, to be honest. I don't know Fromber's psychology. All I'm looking for, I don't want to know his psychology, actually, because I'm not a therapist. I just want him to go out there and be the Fromber that you were from April to July.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for.
Really from, like, 2022 to July.
Yeah, 2025. There has been a long track record of him being a really good pitcher.
I mean, this is a very big backslide that we already moved past them. We worked through these issues.
We thought we did.
Yeah, now they're back again.
We had that sports psychologist thing. Remember the sports psychologist fixed them? And we
had like 30 straight quality starts.
The days of, oh my gosh, he misplayed a ground ball. Now he's going to unravel. We thought all of that stuff was out of here. It wasn't. It was lurking under the surface.
Just like once or twice a season, like, something weird. You know, he'll throw at the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, where's that coming from? Yeah. Then he would get himself right. You know, what it was like is you're at a lagoon, and it seems calm on the surface, but you tap the water, and then the gator comes out. That's what the Fromber unraveling has been. Like, it was always there. There was just an inciting incident, and it popped back up, and now it's running rampant. So, I don't know. Maybe he talked to somebody since the last time. He went out there and pitched, and he'll hopefully be okay. We're going to need him, no matter what, for the next month, hopefully.
Yeah, you're going to need him at least on Saturday. Right?
It's a question certainly for the future, deeper into hopefully a deep playoff run, and certainly we hope that playoff run starts at home. Fromber will be granted or given the number two because of reputation, we assume, right? They're not just going to go, well, You've been terrible for 2 months. We're going to hand it to Alexander because that's how baseball works. Like if a quarterback is terrible for 2 months, generally your team's not going to win. So it's a different. Certainly it's different. But let's say a shooting guard is terrible for 2 months, and it's noticeably terrible. You get benched unless you are a star. So it's Fromber at that point, particularly with how baseball treats established players, where we probably be better off with Jason Alexander being our number two. But we can't take that away from Fromber. Has he done enough to make that a question mark?
I think it's a combination of Fromber's done enough and also Jason Alexander.
Has not done anything in the playoffs ever.
Yeah, and I think it would be one thing if Jason Alexander was a top 100 prospect who's done this. You know, like if it's the same thing with the quarterback scenario of like, well, we have a first round pick on the bench. Let's go to Jackson Dart at some point. You know, I think the fact that he is kind of a journeyman who has found a spot here where he's pitching really well for the last couple months, I think that also plays a factor into it, that he's 32 years old and has pitched for three seasons in baseball. If it was a 22-year-old who, you know, they drafted in the first round, maybe it's a little different.
He's our 2023 Joe Flacco, except without the past success of Joe Flacco, so he didn't even have that.
He's like...
Because the Browns, and rightfully so...
It's like Case Keenum. If Case Keenum had played really well in 2013.
Maybe. There's not really a good comp for Jason Alexander because there's not a lot of stories like him, honestly.
Kurt Warner? Is he our Kurt Warner?
Well, Trent Green got hurt.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner came in, much like all the Astro pitchers. In that case, they should start him. It's not like the Rams are like, you know what?
Greatest show on turf, Jason Alexander.
We're still not sure about Kurt Warner's as we enter the playoffs, we can't play them. Yeah, there's no real comp. It just doesn't work.
Tom Brady?
Well, Bledsoe did come back in that season.
Yeah, AFC Championship.
Yeah, and he threw a touchdown pass in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
And when for some reason, I don't remember why they did it.
Brady got like
for a play, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they kept Bledsoe win for the drive, and he threw a touchdown. They brought Brady back. Yeah, there's not a real like-for-like comp for the Fromm or Jason Alexander thing. It's just baseball. Well, if we go by history, they're going to make Fromm your number two, even though what has happened on the field would suggest they shouldn't.
The only reason I can see it is if you're in a wild card, game three is like the do or die game. And would you want Jason Alexander? It would almost work in his benefit that it's like, well, it is a do or die game. But do you want to put that on Jason Alexander?
So you make him the game two starter?
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with making the first road start in like the ALDS, where it's like, well, in game three, say they win the division and are in the ALDS. It's like, well, game three, they'd be going on the road. Do you really want his first postseason start to be at wherever, Boston, wherever they'd hypothetically be going?
Yeah. There are things in play that would certainly, if we're talking about the intangibles as opposed to what he is as an actual pitcher, could determine it. But
as far as just play on the field, like he should be the two.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot to go into it. It's just how we talk about sometimes should Altuve be as high up in the lineup as he is, but of course they're never going to demote him past a certain point. Alexander's the opposite. I don't know if they ever will promote him past a certain point, at least this year.
Yeah.
He would have to really show out in the playoffs for that to change next year. But hey, that's a long time away. We got a rest day, an off day, and then we'll see how that series goes. Mariners, Astros, big series. It's good to have one. It's going to be exciting. And you got, in theory, your best three going. That's a good spot to be in against a Mariners team who just lost their first game out of their last 11. They had won 10 in a row. They lost last night. We'll see if they can win today and even up the division. All right, we'll go to break. We will hear from the Texans because we got a game and it's apparently make or break. Just if we go by NFL history, if they don't win this game, you can probably pack up the Texans season as far as any real accomplishments to be had. We're already there. So we'll hear from those guys. While they can't think that way, I'm allowed to think that way because I'm not involved. But we'll hear from them. We'll hear from some guys returning. Like Braxton Berrios is back, and apparently a guy who we thought was training camp fodder may be a real piece as the Texans try to find their way on offense. We'll also hear from CJ Stroud on the return of Christian Kirk and also the status of their young receiver. So we'll get to that. We're just getting going here. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Sean and I, till noon, we will be back.
ESPN 97.5. Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Texans here in a bit. But, Sean, I want you and everyone else to picture something in their mind right now. You don't even have to be a Giants soccer fan. I'm not even asking you to know a position. But you have seen at some point a game. You've seen a goal being scored, even if it's strictly related to the World Cup, because that's the only time you're going to tune in. You have seen a goal being scored. You have seen the celebration that followed. I want you to picture in your mind the celebration you would do if you scored a goal. Just hold it, keep it there, because we're going to have a discussion about what's appropriate. Because a goal was scored in, I guess it's a U.S. Open Cup semifinal. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at the video again. But a goal was scored, and hey, it was in the 120th minute of extra time. Big goal, won the game. We don't have golden goals anymore, but it could have been that. It was the last kick of the match, as they say. He won it. And then the guy did a celebration. But I can't agree with it because of a certain scenario. We'll talk about that later. But, Sean, just think of it.
Okay.
Like maybe you do the Ronaldo thing where he does the Sue, where he jumps up in the air, twirls around, and then the whole crowd goes Sue, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not biting anyone's style.
All right. You're not sliding?
No.
All right.
That looks like it hurt.
On a slick field?
Yeah.
Okay, just we'll talk about that later, because I mean, it's a pretty traditional celebration, but in the circumstance, I'm not sure you should do it. You don't want to be remembered after scoring that big of a goal, relatively speaking, U.S. Open Cup, whatever. You don't want to, I wouldn't want that image to be the one people remember of me scoring. We'll talk about it. All right, Texans. Problem scoring? They certainly do. They have not reached 20 in any game they played so far. It's been ugly. At least they scored a couple touchdowns in their last game. They only kicked field goals in game one. So they are missing weapons. Christian Kirk is back. Braxton Berrios is back. CJ Stroud has had guys like Justin Watson to throw through. Doesn't have him anymore. He's gone on IR. Nico Collins and the young guys along with Hutchinson. Here's CJ Stroud on how Noel and Higgins have played and what the return of Christian Kirk will mean.
He's done a good job of having a good attitude and, you know, getting the plays that, you know, that he gets and doing as best he can. And, you know, him and Hig, you know, they're still learning. Still got some things that we're figuring out together just as a whole. So I think, you know, definitely right then again, see Kirk will help those guys, you know, as he's in the room and, you know, on game day they can see him and how he works and the type of route distribution he has. And not to say they're not doing their job, but just, you know, like that veteran feeling that he'll bring to the room. But Jay Noe and is doing a great job, and Higgins as well. So they're still growing and learning, and they'll be great players.
So I don't know what the plan was for Christian Kirk coming in, how big of a influence he would have been on offense. Some systems really need a slot receiver to go. Don't know that Nick Kelly's system is one of them. We don't know much about Nick Kelly's system other than it's been unproductive through 2 weeks. So whatever the plan for Christian Kirk is, maybe he's an integral part in turning this offense from a, let's just say, below average one to an explosive one. I don't see that. That has not been Christian Kirk's trajectory over his career. You don't just insert Christian Kirk into an offense and it becomes great. It's not that type of player. He doesn't have that type of impact. But we're looking for incremental improvements. And if Christian Kirk is a guy who can get open quickly to impact what we thought was going to be a quick-hitting passing game, cool. Whether it be option routes, maybe, or there'd be crossers, mesh concept stuff that Christian Kirk possibly can thrive in, some over routes, whatever it is. We'll see that in his impact against the Jags in his return to Jacksonville. We know Azeez Ashier was a big storyline. And I believe he got asked questions about that yesterday. We're not going to play those. There is something I want to get to, though, in a little bit here. We talked about him and the Texans and their willingness. I think it was even brought on by a caller. Their willingness to try to blow guys up, because it feels like that's the intention that and the direction that DeMeco Ryans wants for his defense. They want to be physical. They want to be intimidators. They want to set a certain standard that when you play the Texans, you're going to feel it. That's all well and good, but the other guys are pretty damn good athletes too, and if you don't come with the fundamentals, it's going to cost you. We saw that when Toto was out of control and it led to Baker Mayfield picking up a big fourth down. We saw the Bucs break plenty of tackles and lead to explosive runs or even just runs that go from 3 yards to 6 yards to 7 yards because you can't wrap up. It certainly was prevalent on the last drive beyond the Toto miss. You had Toto and Alshier get run through at the goal line for the winning score. So the linebackers haven't been great. They're not great. They may just be average. But certainly you can be a better player if you combine physicality with fundamentals. And Azeez Alshier talked about it here. He acknowledges, and I appreciate the self-awareness, that the physicality, if it isn't matched with doing the basics, can hurt your team.
I think just kind of like that same mentality. I think sometimes you be aggressive and, you know, you're taking your shots, but there's different things and different situations where you can get those, you know, kind of big hits versus just, you know, making the routine tackle. So I just think, you know, when you have that mentality like how we do, where we're swarming to the ball, everybody's flying around, that's a great mentality. You don't want to change that. But at the same time, you know, you still got to be able to run and play your technique, because you run into the ball and you're being physical, but you want to make sure that you're running your feet, keeping your head up, putting your body on the guy. So I think kind of the finer details within, you know, that physicality is what it's about.
I've made fun of SWARM because it's actually SWARM. I need a new acronym, but it won't spell out a word because I just made it up. G-G-O-T-G. G-G-O-T-G. And what does that mean? Get guys on the ground. I don't care how you – well, I do care how you do it because the blow-up stuff hasn't been working. D'Amico Ryans, I don't know if you need to put up a new sign someplace because, you know, you gotta get someone to work on that. And, you know, it doesn't roll off the tongue as good as Swarm does. G-G-O-T-G, get guys on the ground. That should be the focus. Whether you want to take your shot after your teammate has wrapped them up, I'm cool. But I don't want to see Etienne, I don't want to see those two turning 4 yard gains or less into nine because you won't do what you need to do. It's simple. Your defense, who's going to be called on to shut teams down, probably in an unfair way because your offense isn't where it needs to be right now. You're a defense-led team. You don't have a large margin for error, particularly when I throw in the penalties you're likely to commit on both sides of the ball. We cannot be giving up what they would say and call hidden yardage because you missed a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Third and eight, much better for your pass rushers than dealing with third and four because you simply didn't get a guy on the ground. So get him on the ground this week. That's my hope for the defense. They'll be fine in other places. They'll get their aggressive penalties, hopefully a little less than they did against the Bucs. I expect the penalties to continue because that's the D'Amico Ryans team. I don't think that's going anywhere over the course of a 17-game season. It's not who they are. It's not who his teams have been. Tackle better. That's all. I don't know the numbers for yards after contact. It just seemed like a lot. It seemed like they had shots throughout that game to limit ball carriers to 2 yards, and instead they turned into five and then six and then seven. And, of course, on the last drive, multiple times they could have got a guy on the ground to at least make the job harder in the Bucs, and they couldn't get it done. So let's see. Let's see if the words Alshire used are going to be implemented on the field on Sunday. Because when Brian Thomas isn't, you know, ducking contact because he's afraid of what Trevor Lawrence is trying to run him into, he's a pretty good player, and he's a big enough guy that if you aren't on it tackling, he'll make a play. There'll be yards after the catch. Travis Hunter, a little small fella as far as wide receivers are concerned. But in college, at least, he made guys miss. That has not really been the case on the NFL level, so I'm not going to give him that. But I know Tootin and Etienne are dudes who'll make you pay if you don't wrap up. So let's see if it's Christian Harris, if it's some EJ Speed, Alshire, Toto, if those guys turn what was kind of embarrassing on Monday into a strength on Sunday, because they'll be needed. I don't know what they're going to need to hold the Jags to win this game. I don't like the matchup of Walker and I'm just going to call him Josh Allen Hines or Josh Hines Allen. I'll just go back and forth. The White Allen, as we talked about yesterday, plays today. But Josh Allen, he's still Josh Allen to me. The Jaguars defensive end. I don't like him against the tackles. I don't like Trevon Walker against the tackles. You're seeing a better edge group than you saw on Monday. So, how many points are the Texans scoring? Do they get to the 20 points? Can they break the 20-point barrier?
I think they can get to like 23.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. That's like five field goals too, but yeah.
You think a touchdown, a two-pointer, and five field goals? No, I'm doing the math. Yeah, that's 8 plus 5 field goals, 15, 23. You think it goes that way?
Maybe not 8.
How do they get to 23 with 5 field goals?
I don't know. I just kind of picked a number out of
Yeah, then I started doing math. That's on me for doing math. 23, I think, is hopeful until proven otherwise. I appreciate you having a...
I'm also baking in that that is a worse defense than the Bucs and the Rams.
It's true. It's a road game. Not that Jacksonville's so intimidating.
Trevor Banks Field? That
name's going to seem really dumb. Trevor Bankfield, because he had like one game there. Like, they're not a dominant home team. Why would you give that to him?
Because they saw the Bengals having fun with Burrowhead, and they're like,
yeah, but you say that about the road environment. Nah. The thing that made the Bengals thing at least not annoying to anyone who isn't a Chiefs fan.
They actually won games over there.
Yeah, they win games there. That's why you call it Burrowhead. Being mediocre at home shouldn't have your quarterback naming your home stadium what was it? Trevor Bank Field?
Trevor Bank.
It should that should be
Trevor Bank.
That, yeah, I understand that. It should be understood because your home, your quarterback is supposed to be good, and he dominates at home. You don't need to give it a nickname. I don't know why I'm explaining this. That's just stupid what the Jags are doing.
Yeah,
you don't need to
Gardner Johnson Field.
No. He's only played one game there, and he lost. You can't give that to him. Like, if CJ was dominant someplace else, you could change the name of that stadium to Stroud, whatever. Whatever. If he's great in Jacksonville, I don't know his numbers. If he Stroud Bank Field, because he never loses there. Something like that. Trevor Bank
Field. Coleridge Fieldhouse.
Was he playing the Indiana Pacers?
Tough game in Kansas that he won.
I guess. All right, we'll go to break with that. Hopefully, we are thinking of nicknames for Everbank Field, Texans related, because we go out there and get a win. I don't care how it happens.
Chubber Bank Field.
It's not great. Chubber Bank Field's not great for multiple reasons. We'll figure out something if they win. If they don't, I guess we'll have a different conversation, a much different one. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll hear more from the Texans because a couple guys came back. We mentioned Christian Kirk is back, Braxton Berrios is back, and your starting center is back. And Jake Andrews, he practiced. It wasn't a full-intensity practice. They got a shorter week, but he looks to be on pace to come back, only missing the one game. Look bad when he left the field. We'll hear from him. And Justin, it appears, we'll go to another combination of the offensive line because, remember, Ed Ingram didn't play in week one. So this will be Jake Andrews plays, this will be the third different combination in three games. That's also not a way to build continuity, which could lead to success, but that's where we are. So we'll hear from him. We will certainly talk some college football because it's actually a pretty good weekend of games this week. And there's that question of the rule bump in year three. They got their first real test against Michigan. So we'll get to some college football as we continue. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Kyler Murray has apologized. You might ask why. Why would the quarterback for the 2-0 Arizona Cardinals have to apologize for anything? Well, self-inflicted wound. These are some things are easy to avoid. I don't know who's on his PR team. I'm not sure how this came about. But if you missed it earlier in the week, very, very early in the week, Kyler Murray, you know, how you celebrate getting a 2-0, beating another diminutive he beat another diminutive quarterback in a game. I don't know if people have done this research, but were those two the two shortest quarterbacks to ever start a game against each other?
Ooh.
Like, Tua has played Kyler, but Tua's like 6-something, it would hurt in this game we're playing. Who else could it be? Did Doug Flutie ever start against a really short guy?
I was thinking, do we get a Drew Brees versus Doug Flutie back game in the day? That's the only, and that's a lot of Doug Flutie dragging.
Yeah, even Drew Brees, as being small for quarterback, is 6-plus, whatever he is.
Big bros, these two.
Yeah, but it may have been. Unless we go in modern football history, I don't know what's going on in 1945. I don't know. But beyond that, beyond going to 2-0, winning that game, Cardinals off to a good start, Kyler decided for some reason to pose in a Virginia Tech vintage Michael Vick jersey. You're like, you know what? Look, he is honoring one of the greatest dual quarterbacks in modern history. He's a dual threat quarterback. Maybe he's paying homage. That would be cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Michael Vick's in the news for being a head coach at Norfolk State.
Yep.
Apparently, he had to say, I'm not interested or I'm not a candidate for the Virginia Tech job. He had to do that this week.
Maybe Kyler Murray is throwing his hat in the ring.
All that would be cool until I add the other breathing being in the picture, a pit bull. Why would that be something that people would take notice of? Plenty of athletes have dogs. Plenty of athletes take pictures with their dogs. And some, in fact, many athletes have pit bulls. Well, it's that whole dog fighting thing that Michael Vick was involved in.
that may get people to question what the hell Kyler Murray's doing. I don't know why he has issued an apology, but someone next to him goes, "Hey, Kyler, yeah, Michael Vick's rebuilt his reputation. He's a head coach at a university. He certainly came back to the NFL. He has been a analyst before. But what the hell are you doing? Why?" This is one of these things where it's an unforced error, and you're like, what's the point? What'd you do it for?
It is his dog.
Yes.
So it's him wearing a jersey with his dog.
Uh-huh. A Michael Vick jersey, of all things.
You know.
Did he think it'd be funny for people to draw conclusions and remember back? Do you think Michael Vick, as he's moved on with his life, wanted this to be a thing again?
Thanks, dude.
Like, if you want to honor me, thank you for wearing my jersey, but keep your family pet out of it, particularly when it's a pit bull. Like, if it was a collie, fine. Although people still, hey, dog Michael Vick, but at least it wouldn't be a pit bull. If I'm Michael Vick, never honor me and have a dog in the picture. I don't care if it's Kurt Herbstreit's dog. Keep the dog out of the picture when you're mentioning me, because I've moved on. In fact, when Michael Vick's coaching at, I think, Norfolk State, I don't think of him as the guy who did the dog fighting. And not that I don't remember now, but at the time, like, oh, look, Michael Vick's coaching. That's cool.
Yeah, it's not like the head, like, when you think of Michael Vick, it's not the first thing that comes to your
this
mind.
It's amazing because it was a pro quarterback who went to jail, and I don't think of it. When I saw him as a coach again, I thought, oh, I remember as a kid, that guy was one of the most special athletes I ever saw play football. That's what I thought of him. But then Kyler's like, you know what? Let's think of him in a different way. Let's think of
remember
him
that
as a
other
guy.
Thing.
Remember that other thing he's famous for?
I can actually believe that Kyler Murray just like
didn't know.
He was like, I'm going to take a picture with my dog, which so happens to be a pit bull, and I'm going to wear a cool throwback jersey. That's Michael.
Because Michael Vick was one of the coolest athletes ever.
Yes. I can believe that he actually was just like, whoops, bad combo. He did talk about it at his weekly press conference. Do you want to know what he says?
Sure.
It's not entertaining in any way. It's in no way, shape, or form do I condone animal cruelty or dogfighting. They both talk about
whatever it is. No, it's dogfighting.
Cruelty or dogfighting.
Yeah, it's both, actually, honestly.
He said about his dogs, they both get treated like kings, so it's not like in no way, shape, or form am I condoning that. But yes, I saw how it affected people and decided to take it down.
No, I didn't draw the conclusion that you treated your dogs poorly.
Just in case you're thinking I'm dogfighting. No, that's just Michael Vick.
Yeah, it's not me. I would never do it. It's him. I didn't think Kyler Murray treated his dog poorly. I thought, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Why? And he said, as far as what, did he explain why he wore the jersey?
For me personally,
y'all saw me wear the Michael Vick jersey, a player I admired very much growing up. Okay, that's fine. Since you admired him growing up, you probably know his story. Keep the dogs out of it.
He's old enough to know.
He's old enough to know. He's young, so Michael Vick at his peak at Virginia Tech, he may have seen, like, Kyler Murray was very young. He's like 3 years old when Michael Vick graduated.
Yeah, he was born in 1997, yeah, so he was 10 years old when Michael Vick got thrown in prison.
Well, the dog fighting thing, but even Virginia Tech, he wouldn't have seen him play. He would only have to see highlights of him playing. But he would have known.
I'm saying as someone who's very close in age to Kyler Murray.
You knew about the dogfighting thing. Everyone did. It was Michael Vick. He was the starting quarterback of an NFL team who went to jail.
Imagine if you're however old you were when you're 10 years old, that one of the best and most like electrifying quarterbacks in the NFL and in pro sports at the time got thrown in prison for 2 years. I think that's how I learned about dogfighting. Was Michael Vick. It didn't occur to me that dog fights were a real thing.
Like, I was aware of dog fighting. I just didn't know anyone of Michael Vick's status would be involved in it.
Would partake.
Yeah. Yes. He's apologized. But this probably is proof that he doesn't consult with a team when he posts stuff on social media. But it is a photo shoot. It isn't just some random candid.
It's a nice picture.
Yeah. The lighting's great. Everyone looks great.
It looks like
the dog looks great. The jersey's pristine.
Those very stylized Instagram photos.
Yeah, it looks like he had a team behind him to take the picture. I just apparently no one on this team thought to themselves, yeah, you know what? Excuse me. You can wear any other quarterback's jersey. Find another quarterback.
Or
don't have the dog in it.
Yeah. How about we post it from your car instead?
Yeah, but
another cool thing.
But maybe you want to show how much you really love your dogs and as
Swoosh and Trunks.
Trunks and Swoosh. Fine names for dogs. Better than Spot, I would say.
Yeah, at least you're doing something.
Yeah, you're doing
Swoosh.
Something.
Is he a Nike athlete?
You would imagine. I think if he wasn't, Adidas would have a giant problem with it. Hey, it's
maybe stripes?
We're paying you. It's not checks over stripes for you. We're paying you for it to be stripes over checks. He might be an Adidas athlete. I have no idea what. I think he's a Nike guy, though, honestly. But either way, Kyler Murray has apologized. Michael Vick's going to be okay. We're all going to be okay. I mean, who's going to really be broken up about it? But the naivete, the ignorance, I don't want to say stupidity, just not to be aware that we can't do this. Michael Vick doesn't want it. You don't want it. And you've taken down the pictures. Kyler Murray, the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
I'll say if I was a Cardinals fan,
I would just drop my head.
I'd be a little bit I think my trust in Kyler Murray would erode.
If it hasn't eroded enough when you signed into a deal, you had to put the don't play so many video games clause in his contract.
That would have been tough.
Yeah.
But I think by now, like, you've kind of gotten over it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so the defense is that he forgot about the dog fighting thing with Michael Vick, which, again, when you're 10 years old and one of the best players in the league gets thrown in prison, you're like, oh, yeah.
My brain believes that he was fully aware, and that's why he did it.
He was like, let's get the people going. Get them talking about something.
I am of the opinion that he wore that jersey and had the pit bull in it for that reason.
Do you think he was like, if you know, you know? And then everyone's like, we know.
Yeah. I don't know if he tried to, like, sneak one in.
and then everyone's like, a real subtle joke.
Yeah. And then,
not subtle, dude.
Yeah. Everyone knows what that is about. And that's what I feel like. He goes, you know what? I'm going to sneak this in. Yeah, this happened. Yeah. This
Get
happened
the internet almost, going nuts.
Almost 20 years ago. I'm going to do it. The real ones know. In this case, everyone's a real one.
Everyone's
knows
aware.
What that's about.
Everyone can do the math on that.
And now you've had to apologize and say, hey, I swear, what he was on, not me. Thank you, Kyler Murray, for that. All right.
Do you think the ATF was like, do we have to swing by?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they did because okay. The dog looked great. The dog looked
look
fine.
Healthy,
you know. Dog healthy. Coat was pristine. Everything in that shot was looking great. There is no real government organization to question the stupidity of people when they post stuff. That organization would have been involved in this, ATF.
They'd be so busy.
Yeah. Hey, we got a couple questions. Why do you think this would be okay? Kyler Murray, everything's fine. You're 2-0. It's not a big deal. It, as Sean said, if you did believe in him, even slightly,
it just takes
a little bit off.
5% less.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit off the top of how much you believe in your quarterback to get it done when he didn't know this was going to be a problem. We'll go to break with that. All right, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. I mean, hell, we're 0-2, but our quarterback would never do that. We'll take that. Actually, you know what?
I'd rather be
2-0. Here's the question. Yeah, would you rather be 2-0 with the dumb post or 2-0 with the dumb post?
I also thought about that. I'd rather be 2-0 with the dog post.
Yeah, because nothing's going to happen to him. So to your point, yes, it's dumb. There are jokes to be made, but you'd rather be 2-0, and that's where the Cardinals are. The Texans have Sunday to try to avoid going 0-3. All right, we'll get more Texans stuff in the second hour. Also, we'll talk more Astros as well. We'll hear from CJ about what he can do to be better. They're going to need him to be better because they're in a real tough spot very early in the year. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.